Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here at Winter Radio, where we are changing the way that we listen to the world. This is May 20th, 2025. And on the agenda today, we're looking at the week ahead. That's usually what we do, astrologically speaking. And there are so many implications for the future and what's going on this week. So I'm excited. And of course, I've got about 3-4 hours worth of notes that I'd like to go over with you. So of course, that's not going to happen. So we will have to save some things for the coming weeks, which is good because some of the things that are going on, they're going to be going on for 2.5 years. So we've got plenty of time to talk about them. But it's always exciting when we're initiating some new energy. And this week, the quick overview is we're initiating a lot of new energy because the sun is moving into Gemini late tonight. Of course, the sun moves once every 30 days, but it's going to start a new solar cycle tonight, which if you're listening to this in the archives, it's Tuesday, May 20th. Mercury, which is the ruler of Gemini. Mercury is that planet of communication. Mercury is the messenger planet, rules Gemini, is also going to move into Gemini on Sunday, May 25th. So, you know, it's that very twinning energy there with both Mercury and the Sun sitting in Gemini as of this weekend. But then the biggest thing that's going on, so of course, we will spread this out. We will just do kind of a primer, a little, you know, jump in and start looking at it today. And that is Saturn. Saturn is moving into Aries on Saturday, May 24th. So that's a very big deal coming up. So we're going to focus on that today, but we're going to talk a lot about Gemini too. In fact, when I started planning out the show, I thought we'd talk all Saturn. But you know what? There's good Gemini stuff going on, and I don't want to skip over that. And we can always push some of that Saturn into the coming weeks and months. And as always, I would encourage you to subscribe to Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter / blog. You can get it for free. You can go to 12listen.com and find the link. You can go to 12house and find the link. On almost all those sites that start with 12, you're going to find links to Mark's Power Peak. And it has multiple articles, but the one article I'm really directing you towards, of course, is the one that's astrologically based, the one that's going to tell you the week ahead, you know, everything that's going on. Where is that moon? When are those planets moving? What can we expect on that particular day? Because, of course, on this show, we always go over the astrology for the week ahead. But, you know, there's so many details. And sometimes you're going, what was that date? What did she say? You can always go back into the archives of 12radio.com and listen to the show again. But you can also usually get the dates or the major things that we're talking about on this show. You can get them in Mark's Power Peak in the week ahead column. So I encourage you to do that. Also, please join us over on Facebook in our private chat room. One of the best ways to get there is to go to 12radio.com and click on that chat button, and it will automatically redirect you to our private group. If you already know how to get there, but if you go to that private group and you're not already a member, our producer, Serena, will let you in. Now, today, and as you know, I kind of come and go with the chat room over on Facebook. You know, I try to pay attention to it during the show, but it is a form of communication. And since that's what we're talking about, Gemini, I wanted to put something special over there today. And I posted a picture of a sculpture that's called The Kiss. And this sculpture, to me, is very special. I was traveling in Philadelphia years ago, and I was in the Museum of Art. And in their gift shop, I noticed this just gorgeous little pin. And it was very unusual, you know, and when I say pin, you know, a pin like you wear, like a brooch or whatever they call it. And I don't ever wear it. It sits on my desk, actually. But it's just this incredible little, you know, little sculpture. And it turns out they have that in their gift shop because they have the original sculpture in their gallery. So, of course, I ran right up to the gallery to check that out, too. But it's called The Kiss by Brancusi. So there again, if you don't go to Facebook, you can just Google this at some point if you're not familiar with the sculpture, and go take a look at it, because I think this is a good visual for some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. And it's a good visual in general about, you know, when you're thinking about these ideas of we're all one, but we're different. We're all one, but we have different forms. This sculpture is literally one block. You know, I don't even remember what it's originally made of. I want to say, you know, some kind of granite. But it's one block, but it's carved in such a way that it's two people embracing and kissing. And it's just, I just think it's a phenomenal image. It's one of my favorites. I love it. I think of it always with Gemini. And I'll explain that in just a minute. So yeah, we are in the time of Gemini with both the Sun and Mercury moving into that sign. And we're talking about the cosmic twins. And I also want to keep, we talked a few weeks ago, I called, you know, Gemini the juggler. And I think that is so true too, because Gemini is just always into something new, always gathering new information. And so that's something that just, that happens with Gemini. And I think it's something to really keep in mind, because we're going to have a lot of Gemini energy, not just this month, but moving forward for the next 7 years, we're going to have a lot of Gemini energy. So, you know, let's do that deep dive and really look at it and keep coming back to it too, because it's a happening place. And, you know, it's kind of funny because over the last few months, I've been thinking about Jupiter, because Jupiter's that planet of benefit and luck. Everybody loves Jupiter. But, you know, I kind of imagined, you know, I very personify the planets. And I kind of imagined that Jupiter was a little bit lonely in Gemini, because that's where it's been. But, you know, the other planets, they're in water, they're in earth, they're in all these other signs, and Jupiter's just kind of been sitting over there. And it doesn't mean that none of the other planets were connecting with it, but Jupiter was in this mental air sign, this youthful, inquisitive, chatty, social, and entertaining sign of Gemini. And I kind of imagined it was a little lonely. But I feel like not anymore, because the spotlight is really being turned on in that part of the zodiac. So who is the Sun in Gemini? Well, here again, a few weeks ago, I literally kind of hopefully didn't bore you to tears, giving you a whole list of all the things that was associated with Mercury and or Gemini. So just the short version of that is it's the social butterfly, the writer, the editor, publisher, public speaker, social planner. It's a hostess with the mostess. You know, Gemini is the journalist, the TV newscaster, the podcaster, the influencer, and the wannabe influencers. And I always think of Gemini like if you're having a party or you're having a meeting and you need somebody to be standing at the door, giving out name tags or giving directions or just doing a function of meet and greet. You know who's perfect for that? Anybody with a lot of Gemini. If maybe they're a Gemini sun or they're a Mercury in Gemini, or maybe they have their sun in the third house of the chart, which is something we don't always talk a lot about, but we will in the next few weeks, because, you know, sometimes you're an honorary, you know, sign. So if you have your sun in the third house, which is naturally a Gemini house, then you may feel very much like a Gemini. Or people may consider you to be like a Gemini. You go, hey, wait a minute, I'm not a Gemini, I'm a Cancer. But that third house of the chart is ruled by Mercury, and it's a Gemini house. So, you know, if you choose a person like that to, you know, to be at the door, it's the best person, because they can chat up anybody about anything, in a sense, without going very deep. They just like to connect. They want to do that communication. Now, that's not to say that a person that is Gemini or has that kind of energy never goes deep. I'm simply saying that's not the function of Gemini. Mercury is a messenger. You know, he gets information from one place and he takes it to another. You know, he's flitting all around. He's fast. He's quick. And it's the transfer of information, not necessarily going deep with the information, and not necessarily even checking out if the information is right or correct or ethical or anything else. It's about transferring information. So that's another thing to kind of think about with Gemini or with information in general. Data is not information. Now, some of you may have heard that before, and even in work, you know, if you've ever worked in a place where, you know, they're dealing with lots and lots and lots and lots of pieces, you know, of data. Well, it's not really information unless it's helpful. It's not information unless you can start categorizing it, linking it together, which, of course, is one of the things that Gemini does. Not quite as good as Sagittarius or some of the other signs. Gemini's, you know, version of it is to just gather all the information. But this is a time, it has a natural gift for networking and gathering that information. And so as we see both the Sun and Mercury in Gemini, I just think there's going to be lots and lots of messages and lots of inner insights and outer messages that we can really listen to. And we can, you know, we can process it. We don't need somebody else always processing information for us. So along those lines, I feel like one of the keys to being very successful or feeling good about this kind of energy is the word discernment. The concept of discernment. You know, Gemini is the collector. They love to talk, interact, read, communicate, play with all those ideas and words, and experience as much as possible. But to link them together in important ways, or to know that they have true meaning, that's up to us to figure that out. That's up to us to make those links. And not just assume, because, I mean, how often have you heard somebody say, oh, well, so-and-so said it, or I've read it, or most people think. And of course, we're all guilty of doing that from time to time. Maybe I want to put an opinion out there. So instead of saying, this is what I think, I go, you know, a lot of people think. Others have said, you know, that's a way that on one hand, we're trying to get credibility for an idea. And like I said, it's a valuable way to do it. But, you know, while Gemini's gathering all this information, I think there's a couple of things we need to think about. And discernment is one of them. And it also occurs, I'll tell you what occurred to me really, is that as we're gathering all this information, we can also get really scattered. And maybe when we think about these relationships we have with other people, and this almost goes back to that sculpture, how about the relationship that we have with ourselves? You know, oftentimes we think about socialization and parties and doing all this stuff in a Gemini cycle. But what is the relationship that we have with ourselves? Where are we with our inner guidance? And if we want to really have good relationships with other people, have life, in a sense, make sense, which it so often doesn't, at least it feels like that way in my world, then we've got to remember that data isn't information and that we need to filter through communication, through messages, and figure out, even in our intention, have you ever thought about sometimes when you're talking to somebody, what's your real intention? You know, don't you love some of those phrases of, well, I hate to say this, but, and I always wonder, well, then why are you saying it? You know, I mean, we do those kinds of things all the time. What is really our intention in a communication? But going back to Gemini, this is what also made me think about this sculpture. As I was thinking about Gemini and thinking about its association in the tarot scheme of things, it's the Lovers card, the number 6 archetype. And I have always been intrigued by the association of Gemini with the Lovers because, I mean, wouldn't you think the Lovers would be Libra or, you know, something like that? Gemini, the twins, they are associated with the Lovers archetype. And so what I'm going to share with you now is some information that I get from James Wanless, who is the creator of the Voyager Tarot. And truthfully, this is a guy who, if you have not ever seen that tarot deck, it's absolutely gorgeous. It is very different than many tarot decks. But the thing that I love about it is it's so eclectic. It throws out all these images and all this information. His book does the same thing. He doesn't stick with just one thing. He says, think about this, think about this. Hey, look over here. Look at this picture. What about this? So it forces your mind to start drawing, you know, in a sense, conclusions from various pictures. But it's also wonderful, I think, from the perspective of oftentimes, if you're trying to use cards or anything else for intuition, well, I always ask myself, what's the first thing I see? What's grabbing me? Well, on his cards, there's lots and lots of images. So it's interesting to see, why did I choose this card? Maybe I didn't choose this card because of its traditional meaning. Maybe there was an image on this card that I needed to see. And it's the same thing about life. I mean, sometimes, you know, the obvious is not what we're really supposed to be seeing or paying attention to. Or, you know, you see something and all of a sudden, you know, it means something to you. It carries meaning. And in fact, that's been happening to me lately with the word canon. And meaning, you know, kind of a group of thinking, you know, a story that, you know, I don't have a good definition for it. But you don't hear people use that word very often when they'll say, oh, well, that's in the canon or the mythology. And I heard somebody say that. And then all week long, I couldn't believe how many other people I heard say that word, or I saw it in writing somewhere. And so that's the way it works. You know, something captures us and we pay attention. Maybe we kind of go down a little rabbit hole with it, but it's just some, you know, let your intuition take you to where it will. And then somebody else can even say, well, why are you going there? Well, I don't know. It's just something that intrigues me. And that goes along with Gemini. It intrigues me. I have a curiosity about this. So I want to throw out some things that James Wanless says about specifically the Lover's card. And thereby, it's also talking about Gemini. He talks about it as being the law of union, oneness through the marriage of opposites, communication with others, integration of inner self polarities, the force of attraction. It is the force that binds us together as lovers, partners, family, and community. And here, this is something I it's always etched in my mind. Do not resist those to whom you are attracted. Now, that doesn't mean that you just, you know, go along with what somebody else says. But when you're attracted to something, here again, that Gemini energy, I'm intrigued, I'm curious, what's this about? When you're attracted, pay attention. You don't need to naturally resist something, just like sometimes we get into these places. I don't eat fat. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat cinnamon. I don't eat blah, blah, blah. You know, do not resist those to whom you're attracted, whether it's an idea, a story, a book, a place, a person. Just check it out. It doesn't mean you have to stick with it. But there's a reason that something within you was reaching out for that. So going back to the Lover's card and to Gemini, it's about polarities of positive and negative. It's the twins, remember? Let contradictions be. Synergy brings things together. Weave one world, one self, one family, one basket out of all, you know, the multiplicity of everything. Seek out the different and you will become more whole. Live with ambiguity and contradiction and paradox. Embrace the opposite and maintain the center. Now, I love this too. This is from James. Wholeness is love, which is the non-judgmental acceptance and embrace of dualities. And here again, I hope at some point, whether it's during the show or sometime today, you can go over to Facebook and check out that picture. Or like I said, just, you know, go ahead and Google Brancusi's The Kiss and you'll see the picture. Because, and you know, just if it's helpful to you, just kind of put that in your mind. And think about that in terms of the twins, the Gemini energy. But what's important about it is that we're all connected. There's a unity, an interdependence of life. And specifically, James uses the words, we are all carved out of the same block. And isn't that wonderful? You know, they, for all that we think we're different, and we do have differences in form, we're all carved out of the same stuff. So I'm just offering that to you, but also to encourage you at this time to prioritize your relationship with yourself. especially if you're finding yourself in a place of, you know, there's so much going on right now. So if life feels chaotic, if you feel confused, if you feel uninspired, then think about it. When was the last time you just sat down and had a good, decent conversation with yourself? You know, do you spend time every day just connecting with yourself? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to do meditation. It doesn't mean that you have to have some big, you know, event. But even do you just sit down for a minute in the sun? Do you just sit down for a few seconds and try to breathe or do something that kind of takes you out of the chaos, takes you out of having to figure something out? So, you know, if you have forgotten kind of how to connect to yourself, try to remember what inspires you. What inspires hope and a sense of connection? You know, and think of it like a lifeline. What is your lifeline in a chaotic and busy world? And, you know, I think about how we do that with jewelry. We'll have a favorite ring or a necklace. You know, maybe we wear a crystal and it always means something to us. You know, think about the people with all the tattoos. People don't usually just get some random tattoo. They put a tattoo on their skin that reminds them of a person, reminds them of an idea. It's almost like it's saying, this is my identity and I don't want to forget it. It has some meaning to them. So, you know, what is your lifeline? What is the thing that can connect you? And here again, you know, maybe it's something, I know I do this. I have so many wonderful things in my office that I just absolutely love. But when you've got so many things, I guess that's Gemini, sometimes you forget about them. And sometimes it's worth it for me to just kind of stop and say, yes, look at this picture. Look at this crystal. Look at this fun little thing that I put on my desk as a nice reminder. But have I forgotten it? Am I just overlooking it? So you know what? Use this time not only to be social, but to be discerning about your own life. And where do you put your attention? Because that's it. And I get it. We're on overload. Like if you ask me right now, I have a home altar. Well, what's on your altar? Well, I'd be able to tell you some of the things, but I'd probably miss more than half. And why? Because when was the last time that I really paid attention? When was the last time that I really looked? Or maybe the same thing is about your closet. Do you ever get into your closet and all of a sudden you've got clothes or you've got something, you go, I don't even remember buying that. When was the last time I wore that? You know, or those shoes. Oh yeah, I got those shoes and I was so excited about them and I put them away and, you know, until summer came and now it's summer. Why aren't you wearing them? That kind of thing. So the Gemini and its energy and the Lover's energy, you know, it's here to stay. And when I say that, it's because it's not just Mercury and the Sun moving into Gemini this week, but Uranus, what I call the Great Awakener, the planet that allows us to move beyond self-imposed restrictions, helps us move beyond our own limitations. It changes signs every 7 to 8 years. Well, guess what? It's going to enter Gemini this year in the first week of July. Now, with Uranus and Saturn and Neptune, because they retrograde every year, what is happening is like Neptune moved into Aries. Saturn is moving into Aries. Uranus is moving into Gemini in July. But they all go through their retrograde patterns this year. So one of the things that we're going to see is these three planets going back to wherever they came from, but only for a short while. So by the time we get out of 2025 and we're starting into 2026, we're going to have three major planets, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, in fire and air. And specifically, Uranus is going to be in Gemini. So when you think about that as the Great Awakener, the planet that helps us identify how we move beyond our limitations, what is it? It's Gemini stuff. It's about information. It's about communication. It's about understanding, seeing things from multiple perspectives, being the twins, you know, literally having that double energy and being able to see life literally from multiple perspectives. So it's a really happening place, and it's going to be. And I think that as we get the Sun and Mercury this week into it, and we kind of dip in there and start really, you know, paddling around or whatever you want to call it, it's going to be very exciting. But we also need those tools, those lifelines, because we need to be cool, calm, and collected, because otherwise we're going to feel like we're getting bounced around, you know, like a kite in the wind. And one of the ideas that came to me, in fact, you know, with all this energy, is Abbott and Costello. And do you remember that routine they did? I mean, almost everybody knows it. It's called Who's on First, where they're talking about a baseball team, and the baseball team, they all have nicknames. And so one guy is called Who, another is called What, another one's called I Don't Know. So Abbott and Costello do this whole routine about who's on first and just go back and forth and back and forth. And I mean, it's hysterical. And if you've never listened to it, there again, Google it and listen to it. It's very, very funny. But you know, we do that same thing. I mean, and honestly, I feel like I get into conversations like that with people all the time, because I'll ask them a question and they'll give me an answer. And I say, well, how did you know that? And they'll go, well, I just told you. And I said, but how did you know it in order to tell me? I'll go, well, I just told you. You know, and so I'm like, oh my God, we're on Who's on First. So that's another thing, is that, you know, sometimes to do something really well, we have to start out doing it badly. I mean, so many things that we learn to do, we fall down, you know, we're riding the bike falls over, you know, and bigger things in our lives too, you know, we study something, we do something for years and years and years to become an expert. Rarely do we just, are we experts in the beginning? So to do something well, you have to start out doing it badly. Sometimes, I'm not going to say always, but we make mistakes and we redirect. So the one thing about Gemini that I think is a wonderful opportunity is to become a better communicator, to become a better thinker, you know, to think in more critical ways. And by critical, I don't mean criticize. I mean to take those two things and say, yeah, okay, well, you gave me this information, but where did it come from? And how does it compare with what you told me before? Or where did you hear it? And you know, to just ferret out all those little details. Gemini, if you're interested, if it's something you're curious about, then it's a time that we can become better communicators. All right. So for the time being, we are going to leave Gemini. And we are going to jump over to Saturn. First, I'm going to check into the Facebook. Let's see if I can. Well, it's not showing me any comments. I'm not sure what that's about, because I know the comments are there. That's the way it goes, right? So we're not going to fool with that for too long. We'll just see what we see. Okay, yeah, it looks to me like there's some comments, but they're not coming up really easily for me, so I will look at them later, all right? Okay, thanks a lot and for just letting me make that little detour, and we'll see what happens later. Okay, but anyway, for those of you who are over there checking out that picture, or you're just over there making some comments, thank you very much. Oh, and now I see Renee and James, at least your comments came up, so thank you very much for that. And thanks for being here today. All right, so let's talk about Saturn in Aries. Now remember, this is a big deal. We're gonna talk about it for a long time. Saturn changes signs every 2.5 years. So not, you know, it's not in the category of Neptune, which does it every 14 years, or Uranus 7 or 8 years, but it's still 2.5 years. It's 2.5 years. It's a big deal. It's not one of the planets that just changes signs every, you know, 14 to 30 days, like we see with some of the ones that are closer to the sun, like Venus and not Mars is every 6 weeks. But like Mercury and the moon, which of course changes signs every 2.5 days. So this is just a primer. We're just going to start talking about some things. Why are we interested in Saturn? Why do we care? Well, first, it does move into Aries this weekend on Saturday, the 24th. But in truth, it's going to move back into Pisces because it's going to go retrograde. So by September 1st, it's going to be back into Pisces, and it's going to stay there through February 13th. Now, as of February 13th, when it's moving direct, it's going to move back into Aries. But one of the reasons I want to really emphasize that is because as we kind of get through those later degrees of Saturn in a particular sign, important and profound things can be happening. And especially if you've got planets or important house cusps, let's say they're anywhere between 25 and 29 Pisces, guess what? Saturn's going to go back over them again, because it's going to travel all the way back to 25 Pisces. So whatever was started, whatever foundations you were building, whatever things, you know, you were structuring in your life, it's not finished, and they're going to go back. And that's going to be a good thing, because now chances are you're going to see how the structure is really coming up. You know, sometimes you have an architectural plan and you start laying it down, and you can't quite figure out what it's really going to look like or how it's going to really come together. I know in watercolor, it's that way sometimes. You know, I'm putting all this color and paint on the paper, and it's like, for the life of me, I can't see how this is going to turn into the final result that I want. But you know what? You build it layer by layer, and that's Saturn. So for those of you with those planets in Pisces, and there again, it can be in other signs as well, but specifically, if you've got planets between 25 and 29 Pisces or Virgo even, this is a time to really pay attention, because Saturn is kind of laying down the final pieces there. And then on February 13th, just in time for Valentine's Day, then it's going to go back into Aries, and it's going to stay there until April of 2028. All right. So, you know, on average, it'll spend 2.5 years in each sign. And on average, Saturn spends 29 and a half years making one orbit around the sun. So the other way you can look at Saturn is say, when was the last time it was in Aries? What was going on? So if you're a history buff or you like to do that kind of research, I'm going to give you those dates. I don't think you need to memorize them. You're going to see them over and over. You can find them on the internet. They will be in the power peak. But generally speaking, we can also look at Saturn that way in terms of, yes, it moves every 2.5 years in terms of signs. But when was the last time it was in Aries? What was going on? So these are the last three times it was in Aries. It was April 1937 through March of 1940. Now, there again, there was a retrograde back into Pisces for a while in 1938. So there again, if you want to do the real history, make sure you've got the dates. But generally, Saturn was in Aries from April of 1937 to March of 1940. It was there again from March 1967 to April 1969. Then it was there from April 1996 through February of 1999. So that was the last one, April of 96 through February of 99. And there again, it went into Taurus, you know, kind of like it's doing now, you know, going into Aries. It went in there for a few months and then went back. But now it, you know, those generally are the dates. April 1996 through February 1999 is when Saturn was last in Aries. The other thing I would remind you of, though, is that it takes 26,000 years for one particular astrological chart to reappear, for it to replicate, duplicate itself, meaning that's when all the combinations come into the exact same place. So when we're looking at 96 through 99, yeah, Saturn was in Aries, but you know what? Pluto was in a different place than it is now. It wasn't in Aquarius. Neptune wasn't in the same place. Uranus wasn't in the same place. And so what makes astrology so interesting and fun for me is that we've got all those moving pieces. And so, yes, we can look and see what were the trends during 96 to 99. And when they had to do with building, or when they had to do with, you know, maybe Aries in general, then, it, you know, we can look at it as an omen or maybe as an indication of what we can expect this time. But remember, those other planets were in different places. So it's not like history repeats itself that consistently. Some things are going to be repetitive and some things aren't. So just try to keep that in mind. But is this a big deal? Yes, it is a very big deal. And I think it's a big deal for Saturn to move into Aries in the same, you know, at the same time that Neptune started a new 14-year cycle in Aries on March 30th. And as we talked about, Uranus is going to be starting a 7-year cycle in Gemini, an air sign, which gets along with Aries really well. It's going to start that in July. And we know that Pluto moved into Aquarius, an air sign, as of last December, and is going to be there for another 20 years. So you might think of this as a massive shift or migration, because the cosmos, some of those bigger planets, those slow-moving planets, bigger planets, whatever you want to call it, the ones that are farthest from the sun, so they move slower from our perspective. Well, they're finishing cycles in the grounded Earth and the sensitive water signs, and they're marching into action-oriented fire and into the communication air sign. So yeah, this is a big shift that we're going through, and Saturn is part of it. So 25, 26, these are years of profound change when we talk about astrology. So I say, grab your gear, because we're off and running. We're doing some really exciting things. And as you can imagine, because those other planets have moved, well, Saturn is going to join them. It's going to make some really wonderful positive aspects to those planets. It's going to join Neptune. And actually, it's going to be really, really, really close to Neptune in July, in late July. But it's not going to be a perfect conjunction. And because there again, when we say perfect, it's got to be exactly the same degree at exactly the same minute. So it's not kind of like, okay, I'll meet you at 6-ish. You know, that's kind of what it's doing in July. It's going to make that perfect conjunction in February of 2026, but it's going to get darn close in July. So we'll talk about it. It's also going to make a really nice connection to Pluto in March of next year in 26. And it's also going to make a really nice connection with Uranus and Gemini in August of this year. So see, we're going to see these planets coming together in really positive ways to structure something different in our lives. So how do you keep in touch with that? Make sure you're reading Mark's Power Peak the week ahead and the other articles. And, you know, keep it tuned to 12radio.com. And I guess I should say YouTube, because I know a number of our hosts are now streaming live on YouTube, including Mark Housen. So I hope you're checking into that. So let's start kind of our primer on Saturn. And I know we're only going to get so far, and we will keep pushing this into the weeks, you know, ahead. But a brief history lesson. This is something that helps me really understand who Saturn is. Before the telescope was invented, we thought that the whole solar system ended at Saturn. Like, in fact, when you hear Mo Abdelbaki talk about Vedic astrology, Vedic astrology has been around for thousands of years, but the human eye cannot see farther than Saturn. Now, we suspected that there were other planets out there, but there was no way to know for sure until the telescope was invented. So Saturn becomes the idea, you know, the representation of boundaries. You want to talk about boundaries, and I know a number of you out there do like to talk about boundaries. It's such an important thing in our life. Well, Saturn is about boundaries. It was kind of the farthest edge of the solar system. So it wasn't until we found out about Uranus, which, you know, so who is Uranus? The rule breaker. He broke all the rules. There is another planet out there. Guess what? There's even more planets out there. We learned to see differently. So yes, Saturn became and always was the limit and the boundary planet, even though we now know that we can go beyond that. But still, astrologically speaking, Saturn is about boundaries. So Saturn is the organizer, the disciplinarian, the planner. Saturn rules Capricorn as the sign, and it rules the 10th house of the zodiac. And what is the 10th house of the zodiac? Reputation, work, professional life. Saturn is always associated with what we do to be productive. Whether we get paid for it or not, it has to do with how we are productive. How do we create a public image for ourselves? That has to do with reputation. And we're not going to talk about this today, but I also want you to just know that there again, going back to Vedic astrology, when we didn't know about Neptune and we didn't know about Uranus or Pluto, well, then the planets we had often ruled two signs. Mercury and Venus still rule two signs. Well, before the discovery of Uranus, Saturn ruled Aquarius. Now, there again, when I first heard that, I thought, okay, that doesn't make any sense at all. And actually, it does. And at some point when we're talking about Aquarius, we can talk about the association with Saturn. But for now, keep it in your mind that Saturn rules Capricorn. So when I think of Saturn, and here again, when I throw out, I'm being very Gemini, throwing out lots of information, but sometimes you can just hang on to something that you go, that's Saturn. To me, I always call Saturn the great manifester. And the reason is because Saturn is the one who always is associated with purpose. What is your purpose? What is your goal? What do you intend to accomplish? How do you plan to get there? So Saturn, I think, can be your absolute best friend, even though he can really annoy you. Because I don't want you asking me all these questions about how I'm going to get there. I just want it to happen. I want it to happen by magic. I want it to just fall into my lap. And Saturn just laughs because he is the great manifester. He knows how to set the boundary. He knows how to pull things together. You know, when things solidify like ice, when water becomes ice, that's a Saturn function. When things solidify and congeal and come together, glue, you know, stacking those brick by brick, that's a very Saturn thing. So, but think about him. He's the great manifester. You want your dreams or your goals to be something other than just an idea? You need the energy of Saturn to do that. Saturn is all about purpose. And so in my mind, those two things are just inseparable. Saturn is about having a purpose. Saturn is patience, determination, perseverance. It's about maturity. It's about slow, incremental growth. Once again, brick by brick, bit by bit, step by step, building the structure and the foundation for something to stand on. So we use discipline and patience and perseverance to create order in our personal lives and in our universe. Saturn is about responsibility and duty and obligation. It can also be about things like rigidity because it's about structure and form. Do you want something to be like a brick or do you want it to be more like silly putty? There again, you get to choose what the form is. You get to choose how you're going to set that boundary up. But Saturn is your guy. He's definitely your guy if you want to consolidate, if you want to contract. So, of course, there's a lot of negative images about Saturn, too. Like, you know, we would think about misers or Scrooge as being very Saturn, you know, holding on to things, you know, locking all those things up, having those limitations and boundaries and restrictions or deficits. So certainly Saturn has some of those ideas, too. It's about those rules that we rebel against. It's about laws and law enforcement and military. It's about the lessons that we learn. It's about efficiency and effectiveness. But here again, think about it as father, authority figures, how we are the authority in our own lives. See, Saturn, how we deal with Saturn will tell you how you are the authority or not the authority in your own life. How do you give it away? Do you give it away to other people? Here's another idea. Where Saturn is in the chart, if you look and you find your natal chart, where is Saturn sitting? That's usually where we have to work hard, where things don't necessarily come easy. And it's an area, though, that if we work, we become strong and we become experts. And that's not an overnight kind of thing. It's something that we really work at, right? So there's a whole lot more about Saturn, but I'm going to move on because I know we only have a few minutes, because I want you to think about this. Who's Aries? You know, so now Saturn's going to be working through the energy of Aries. Aries is fire. It's the first sign of the zodiac. It's a go-getter. It's pushy. It's motivated. It's unstoppable. It's curious. It's out there. You know, it wants a challenge. And I feel like automatically you go, okay, this doesn't sound like a match made in heaven. And I will agree, it's not a match made in heaven. However, it's a match that will do great things together. And I think we will do great things together. Because if you think about it, and here again, you start forming sentences, you start, you know, putting ideas together. This is the purposeful warrior. Saturn is the purpose. Aries is the warrior. So how do we, what does our boot camp look like? What does our personal boot camp look like? Because I think what's going to happen is that this is going to be a time of a lot of inner personal development, where we're identifying and thinking a lot about our purpose. We're going to be exercising and developing discipline, or at least that's what we can do. And I'd say one of the first things you do that with is your own thoughts. But also just fostering attitudes and cultivating knowledge, skills, and abilities, learning something that's in alignment with your purpose. Do that bit by bit, brick by brick kind of thing. Become the expert at something. And this is a time when we're really going to be working on anger issues. I mean, I really think that's going to happen. And victimization issues. Once again, where do we give our power away to other people? You know, what purpose is it serving for us to be victims? And here again, you're going to hear some of these things over and over, because I do think they're important, and I think they're very Saturn and Aries. I think this is going to be a time when we're going to develop and perfect ourselves through meaningful activities. And that means projects and work. And there again, when I use the word work, you know, I'm kind of rolling my eyes myself going, oh, when do we get a vacation? When do we get a break? But my point is, in Aries, we want a challenge. We want something to do. You know, give me something meaningful to do. And so we are going to be perfecting ourselves through those activities that we think are meaningful, that those activities that we think are worthwhile. And whether you call it work or you call it something else, it's like, yeah, what's your reputation? What are you building your life upon? So we are going to use discipline, but we're going to apply it to things like our own energy and motivation and inspiration and how we deal with challenges. What's our mission? You know, we may not actually hear people saying that, but it's like, we're going to go for missions. You know, we're going to go for something. You know, we want, you know, I'll tell you, the image that comes to me is Lancelot in the story Camelot. You know, he goes to Arthur and he goes, give me something to do. Give me a mission. You know, let me slay a dragon. Give me something to do. He just had to be out there challenging himself. And, you know, when you think about some of the characters, I shouldn't say characters, but the people that have Saturn in Aries, people like Evel Knievel, do you know who he is? And Ted Turner and Simone Biles, the Olympian, Saturn in Aries. And interestingly enough, Ian Fleming, who's the author of the James Bond novels, he was born with Saturn in Aries. And in one of his particular stories, he actually gives James Bond a birth date. And that birth date, well, I mean, I automatically did the chart, of course, when I heard it. And that particular James Bond in that movie, he had Saturn in Aries. And by the way, Daniel Craig has Saturn in Aries. And it's tightly conjunct Mars, which is another story we should talk about. And we will. But, you know, this is going to be a very, very exciting time. And like I said, I know I've thrown a lot at you. And I'm going to throw a whole lot more about, you know, about this stuff in the coming weeks. You know, we're going to look at Saturn, not only in Aries, but, you know, through those astrological houses. You know, at some point, I'll give you some individual messages for each of the zodiac signs. But I just want you to just start thinking about it. You know, What is your purpose? What is your mission? What do you want to do? What excites you? How do you want to use that Aries energy in a really, really different way with both Saturn and Neptune sitting in Aries? It's going to be darn exciting. I mean, truly, it is going to be. So I know we need to wrap up for today. And I have sort of a long quote, but I did want to give this to you. So I think I will. No, you know what? I'm going to save the long one and I'm going to give you a short one. And this one, because it's kind of funny. And here again, we'll do more of these in the future. But this is from Carolyn Casey, who is an astrologer that wrote a book called Making the Gods Work for You, which is very good. Also kind of humor, but mostly just a good book. And she says, he who hesitates gets bossed. Either we work with our Saturn or somebody else will. And if that isn't the truth, and Saturn in Aries gives us the opportunity to really take hold of the reins, to really take the wheel, and to make sure that we're not getting bossed, that we're doing it ourselves. So guys, we do have to wrap up today, and you know, we're going to talk about this forever. Well, not forever, at least for 2.5 years. We're going to have some fun doing it with all the other planets. Thank you so much for joining me today, because this is my fun. This is part of my lifeline in the world of chaos. So thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all the listeners and everybody who did go over into the chat room. I'll check that out as I close things out. Thanks to our producer, Serena. I hope that you'll stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, the queen of boundaries, by the way. Very Saturnian kind of energy that Kelly's got, and she's one of the best people I know when it comes to setting really healthy boundaries. So I hope that you're listening to her. This is CA signing out. You can find me on 12listen.com. If I'm not available, just ask for an appointment or a call back, and I'll try to be there for you. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with CA Brooks on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. We'll be right back.